The views expressed are those of the author as of the date noted, are subject to change based on market and other various conditions, are not a solicitation to purchase or sell any security, and may not reflect the views of United Planners Financial Services. Keep in mind that current and historical facts may not be indicative of future results.
Hi, I'm Angie Nelson. Welcome to KIOW and Bradford's Money Outlook. Join us as we find out what big things are happening at Bradford. Today we have Shalyn Weiss and Jared Raymond from the Bradford Financial Center in Clarion and Garner with me to talk about healthcare trends.
Well, when you're charged $5,751 for an ice pack and a bandage, you know our healthcare system is broken. And that's what happened to Jessica Pell. A few years ago, Pell fainted, hit her head on a table, and cut her ear. And this was by no means a life-threatening injury. Any type of impact to your head can be serious, and no one wants to walk around with a cut-up ear. So she went to her local emergency room, as many people would have done. After all, she had health insurance. And at the emergency room, she was given an ice pack for her head and a bandage for her ear. But the surgeon who would have stitched her ear was out of her network for her insurance, which meant the treatment could have cost her five times as much as an in-network provider.
Ouch! So what did she do?
She decided to refuse treatment. The bill I'd probably incur would not be worth saving my ear, which was sad, but a choice I had to make, Pell said in an interview with the website Vox. She later got treated by an in-network provider. During her ER visit, all she received was the ice pack and the bandage. That's it. She wasn't treated in any other way. Doctors made no diagnosis, and she made sure that no one touched her before she knew if they were in-network or not. Pell received a bill for $5,751. As you can imagine, she was shocked. But it didn't stop there. It was a classic picture of the inefficiency of the healthcare system as we know it. Pell's insurance plan only picked up $862 of the bill. This was the amount it considered reasonable and appropriate for the services performed. So the hospital was charging her for the remaining $4,889.
That's just ridiculous. So did she end up paying it?
Well, Pell wrote a letter to the hospital protesting the bill. Surely an ice pack and a bandage couldn't cost thousands of dollars. You could buy both items at your local drugstore for only a few bucks. So a month after she sent the letter, she once again received a bill for the remaining balance, and nothing changed. It wasn't until a reporter for the Vox website began covering this story that the hospital agreed to zero out Pell's balance. Turns out, all you need for a fair bill is health insurance and a national reporter on your case. So Pell's story isn't a one-time occurrence. Think about the last time you needed medicine or treatment. Were you afraid to go to the doctor because of the fears of being overcharged? How long was your wait? Did your insurance cover most of your bill, if any?
Probably not. I once had a yearly mammogram that should have been covered by insurance, but due to the way it was coded, ended up costing me about $700. The clinic wouldn't change their coding, while the insurance company said they would pay if the clinic recoded it correctly. It's nearly criminal, and it can't be sustained.
Healthcare is a complex business. It has a lot of moving parts, and the U.S. healthcare system is easily one of the least efficient industries in the world. Each part of the healthcare chain has an incentive to extract the most profit. For every doctor or pharmacist you see, dozens of administrators shuffle papers, set prices, and process claims. All these levels add bloat and complexity, which means higher costs and confused patients. We'll start with the drug makers. Americans spend more than anyone else in the world on prescription drugs, about $1,300 per person per year. Even though drug companies create products that save lives, they're just like every other company. Shareholders demand revenue growth and profits. Developing drugs requires a lot of capital. To get capital, you need profits. To profit on such expensive drug development, you need high prices. Meanwhile, the insurance companies make money by collecting more in premiums than they pay out in claims. The fewer claims they pay out, the higher their profits, which ultimately leads them to push costs off to customers. Then there's the pharmacy benefits managers, or PBMs, the middlemen that negotiate prices and handle reimbursements between drug makers and insurance companies. Finally, you have the distributors, the drugstores, clinics, and physician practices.
Yes, it's like a never-ending chain of people benefiting off of one little doctor's visit. You go in with pain, but you come out with way more pain, at least to your checkbooks.
And incentives also play a role here. Providers of medicine are compensated based on per service, how many tests they run or how much medicine they sell, rather than per successful outcome. And the more doctors and hospitals run tests and procedures, the higher the cost for insurance companies. And then insurance companies will turn right around and charge higher premiums. It all stacks up on one another, with each layer trying to earn its 5% or 10% profit margin. And it's the patients who suffer. But this is going to change. You see, in today's economy, the companies that succeed are the big ones. The race to get big is a matter of survival for a lot of companies, and it's happening in the technology sector. We're seeing it in media, too. Through the competition between Disney and Netflix, it's the same in finance, with banks collecting bigger piles of assets to lend against, and it's happening in healthcare. And the value of biotech and healthcare merger and acquisition deals has shot up in recent years. In 2019 and 2020, they were about $300 billion each year, slowing down in 2020 only due to the economy shutdown. In the coming years, we're going to see the best healthcare companies maneuvering toward this sort of vertical integration. So vertical integration is when two companies in different stages of production merge together. So if Coca-Cola buys a bottling factory, that's a vertical merger. Coke makes the soda and the bottler packages it. On the other hand, if Coke bought Pepsi, it would be a horizontal merger. So there are critics who worry about lack of competition. Still, vertical deals often lead to benefits for consumers, such as greater convenience and lower prices.
And why is that?
The more parts of the healthcare value chain a company handles, the more it controls costs and quality of care. A company that, quote, does it all, can make a little money filling prescriptions, negotiating drug prices, providing patient care, and as an insurance provider. It can cut costs by helping patients find the best route for getting their care or by swapping in generic drugs. And it's able to earn a little extra profit by operating as a health insurer. It can also cut costs by eliminating costly administrative overhead and streamlining communication up and down the chain. At the end of the day, consumers are simple. They want quality care that's easy to access and isn't overpriced. We're seeing more companies start to work toward that goal as they try to win market share from their competitors.
If people have questions about our discussion today to help in managing their wealth journey, what should they do?
For a free consultation to help you manage your wealth journey, contact one of us today at BradfordFinancialCenter.com or call 515-532-6661 or toll free at 1-800-348-4419.
Thank you, Shallon and Jared, for being with us today. Join us again next Tuesday at 9:10 for Bradford's Money Outlook to find out what big things are happening at Bradford. You can also find Bradford's weekly conversations on our website at KIOW.com. I'm Angie Nelson for KIOW.
Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Bradford Financial Center, a registered investment advisor. Insurance services offered through Bradford Insurance. Tax and accounting services offered through Bradford Tax and Accounting Network. Bradford Financial Center, Bradford Insurance, and Bradford Tax and Accounting Network are not affiliated with United Planners. Neither Bradford Financial Center nor United Planners provide tax or legal advice.